Let's look at the one who is worthy in his word today. Let's continue our sermon series, that Jesus is greater. We're making our way through this amazing book of Hebrews. Today we're in Hebrews chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one for you in front. The words will be on the screen. Now listen, church, we're going to be in Hebrews 7. I'm going to read to you all 28 verses. For some of you, you're going to be like, I love this stuff. This is great. And for some of you, you're going to be like, what in the world is he reading? This is so weird. Because I got to be honest with you, Hebrews 7 is a little bit different, but it is amazing. If God shows up in his spirit and he gives us the eyes to see and the ears to hear what is communicated to us, it will make our hearts sing, I promise. So let's pray that he will come and open up his word. All the things we do in a worship service, they all are less than perfect, but this is God's holy and inerrant word. So church, hear the word of the Lord as I read it to us. Hebrews 7, starting in verse 1. We picked up just where we left off from last week. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham appointed a tenth part of everything. He is first by translation, this Melchizedek, of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He's without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, these also are descending from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descendants from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior, the inferior being Abraham, the superior being Melchizedek. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. This is deep water. Now, if perfection had been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and his connection with the tribe Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of legal requirements concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witness of him, it's quoting now Psalm 110, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and usefulness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such with an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, again Psalm 110, the Lord has sworn and has not changed his mind, you are a priest forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once and for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weaknesses as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Well, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let us pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last week, our family gathered in the mountains of North Carolina for a very short little vacation, but oh, to have all four of your kids, five about to be six of your grandkids under one roof was absolutely amazing. And one of those nights, we gathered around a bonfire and we made s'mores, and it was fantastic. And I didn't know, how many people love s'mores? Do you know that we actually made a s'more better? We added Reese's peanut butter cups to a s'more. We kept the chocolate. It was still good. And I'm going to tell you right now, that will set you free. I mean, that was absolutely amazing. After the s'mores and our stomachs were full, wanted to fix our eyes on the stars above. And we've done this before as a family. When we are at our cottage in upstate New York and it's so dark and black, we start looking for satellites. That's what we do. And you look up and you see, okay, is that a satellite? No, it might be a plane. Is that moving or it's not? And all of a sudden, we hit the mother load of satellites. They kept coming one after another in the exact same line. Now, some of you have seen the Starlink satellites. I had never seen them before. Didn't know it was Starlink until somebody else said, "You were looking at Starlink, dummy." And I had to Google that up and say, whoa, this is absolutely amazing stuff. As we fixed our eyes on Starlink, by the way, SpaceX and Elon Musk sent those things up there. Is that Elon Musk? That fellow's a smarty pants. Is he not a smarty pants? I mean, wow. That's absolutely amazing to me. And you know what that does? Starlink, they are trying to provide internet worldwide. You could be anywhere. You could be on the top of Mount Everest. You could be anywhere in the world, in the middle of the Amazon. You could be anywhere, and you could find out the score of the Yankee game. You can go anywhere, and you can get on the internet. How many of you old people, took a shot, I'm one of them. How many of you guys remember encyclopedias? How many of you remember you had a project, you had to go to a place called a library? How many of you studied things like the Dewey Decimal System, right? I mean, wow, those things, you are ancient. If you raise your hand, you're like me. Can you imagine going back to those old informations to access information, not use the interwebs, the internet? Can you imagine if there was no Google search? Or even say it this way, you're trying to find information and now you have all this information on your phone, at your fingertips. You say, no, you know what? I know I have this new way to access information. I have this new way to find out. I'm going to go back to the old ways. I'm going to go back and I'm going to dust off those huge books and open them up. And then you start looking at M's, you know, okay, I'm looking at mushrooms, Mars. And you're going to try to find out information that way. I mean, how foolish would it be? So the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, fix your eyes on Jesus. This is the whole point. The writer of Hebrews is talking to those who grew up in a Jewish tradition that embraced Jesus as Savior. It's getting hard, and it's a little harder than they thought. Now they're wondering, should we turn back? Should we go back to the old ways? Should we go back to that Dewey Decimal System, that kind of things? And the writer is saying, listen, fix your eyes on Jesus. And long before the Starlink satellite entered orbit, Jesus entered into heaven and gave us new access to the Father. Because of his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has now opened up heaven. We have access to the Father. The old religious ways try to find access to God, and it's been replaced by Jesus. Scripture says Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. The only way we get to the Father is through him. So all those old ways, all those sacrifices, that temple and those priests and trying to fulfill the law and all those sacrifices and all the blood that was spilled, it didn't work. And it really couldn't work because the blood of bulls and goats can't take away our sins. Scripture itself will say that. They're only a shadow pointing to what will work. So today we are in Hebrews 7. We're called again, fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because this Jesus, God's Son, he could save you and me to the uttermost. I hope you heard that. We're going to explain what that means. Jesus really can save us. The old systems can't. Religion can't. Moralism can't. Only Jesus can. And now because of what Jesus has done, draw near to him. Draw near to God because of Jesus, our high priest. So the writer examines the old ways, and he's trying to compare what God has done in Christ Jesus to the old ways. And don't ever go back. Don't ever go back to religion. And the whole story of the Bible, it all points to Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate hope of the Bible. So, wow, we just read a lot of passages. And so let's look at three things. Who are these characters? What the heck is Melchizedek? And who are these people? So we're going to look at the characters, the connections, and the consequences, and what we have. So first of all, the characters. Now, let me hit pause and say, some of you might be new to church, or might be new to the Bible, and so this is a deep dive. We're talking about characters that were in the Old Testament, real-life people that had real-life roles that would ultimately point to Jesus. But for some of you, you come in and think, oh, Melchizedek, Abraham? Let me just say, the beautiful thing about God's story is it's a beautiful story. It's a unifying story. I don't know if you ever read it, but I've had the privilege of reading it every year for like 30 years, and it just blows me away. And there are different characters. And so let's talk about the characters. Let's talk about the connections. I'll try to do my best and the consequences. The characters. Katie and I have one more movie left, The Deathly Hallows Part 2 of the Harry Potter series, all right? So we started, you know, hey, we're empty nesters. This is what you do on a Friday night now. You start watching Harry Potter again, you know? And so some of you read the books, good for you. But Katie and I, we're making our way through, and she's way smarter than I am, and she remembers more of the story. We only have one left. Dobby just died. It was so sad. And, you know, there's different characters that seem to appear and disappear throughout the different stories, right, throughout the different movies. And you always want to say, I'm like, Katie, who is this again? Tell me who this is and what their role is. I mean, how do they fit into the story? Well, today's text mentions different characters from the Old Testament, guys like Melchizedek. Now, listen, Melchizedek gets very little ink in the Bible. As a matter of fact, only Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20, tell us anything about this guy. And then it's going to be mentioned again one time in Psalm 110. So he kind of appears out of nowhere. He takes a center stage and he disappears, but he's linked to Jesus. Let me give you just briefly what happened. So Abraham is separated from his nephew Lot. Lot is living in a terrible place called Sodom and Gomorrah. You probably heard what happens to that. While there are some kings that get together, they have a raid, they take Lot in the booty, and the word gets back to Abraham, because, man, I love it when God's people are just such bad you-know-whats. He hears about his nephew being taken. He gathers about 300 guys, the first 300. He goes and gets them. He goes and whoops them and gets them, and then all of a sudden this Melchizedek shows up, some bread and wine, and he shows up, and Abraham says, wow, I'm going to treat this guy like a priest of the God, high God, that's who he is, and he kind of appears out of nowhere. So let me tell you a little bit about Melchizedek. We know something about his name. Melech is the word for king in the Hebrew. Zedek is the king of, it means righteousness. So we hear about this Melchizedek. We are told he is a king. He's a king of righteousness, and he's a king of peace. The word Salem. Probably he was from Jerusalem, the city of peace. I mean, so this is, here's what we know. We know he's a king of righteousness, and he is a king of peace. But we also hear something very unusual about a king. He's also a priest, and not just any priest. He's a priest of the Most High God. But it's interesting, he doesn't have genealogy. It says he's without father or mother. Now, does this mean that he's angelic? Does this mean that he's a pre-incarnate Jesus? What it's probably saying, no, this is an actual person that lived, although he points to Jesus. It's saying he doesn't have genealogy. It doesn't mean like he appeared. It means that the Bible was very specific about the priest, where they came from. They wanted to make sure the lines all, is this a Levite? Is this from Aaron? Is this one qualified? All of a sudden, he shows up without any genealogy. Where's his papers? Where's his qualification? We don't have any. But God made him this way. He's declared this. So he's resembling the Son of God. This isn't the Son of God. This isn't the pre-incarnate Jesus. He resembles him in so many ways. And he's somebody who appears greater than Abraham. Now, anybody who, a Jewish person reading the Old Testament, Abraham was the patriarch. Abraham was the one that God gave promises to. Abraham was like the man. He's like the Michael Jordan and LeBron James rolled into one. I mean, he is the Tiger Woods and the Scottie Scheffler rolled into one. He is the Taylor Swift and the whoever rolled into one. Sorry, I lost Brendan. So here's the reality. I mean, this one appears and said, by the way, he is greater than your father, Abraham. So then you have Abraham. Abraham appears in the story. He is the patriarch. Father Abraham and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. Thank you for not singing with me, just looking at me like. But Father Abraham, he's our father of the faith. And you know, so God came to Abraham and says, listen, Abraham, I want you to move to a different place. I want you to get away from your family. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. Through you, Abraham, all the nations are going to be blessed. So we see that Abraham is the one that God called to himself, called out of darkness into his light and loved him and made these ridiculous promises to him. And it says this about Abraham. He's an old dude, like 90, and has no kids. And God's promising, look at the stars, Abraham. You're going to have more kids than the stars in heaven. Can you imagine how bright those stars were? He's like, okay, I'll believe you, God. My wife, she's beautiful, but she's old. She's well past childbearing, but I'm going to believe you. You say it, I believe it. So he's going to say, I'm going to credit righteousness to you by your belief. Abraham is not righteous because of what he does. It's what he believes. Just like us. Just like us. He was saved by God's grace through faith, just like us. So this is Abraham, the patriarch, the father of our faith. He believed and it was credited to him as righteous. God made some huge promises to him. Here's what God promised Abraham. I'll give you a seed, an offspring. I'll give you a seed, and an offspring. Remember, this is an old dude without any kids. He says they're going to be more numerous than the stars. I'm going to give you a land of promise, and I'm going to bless you, Abraham. And matter of fact, all nations will be blessed through you, all nations. Wow. And then we hear about this guy, Levi and Aaron. They're connected. Levi is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 kids, 12 tribes. Aaron was the high priest. This is the priestly line of Israel. So anytime you hear Levi or Aaron, they're talking about the priest. The priest had specific roles, but they also didn't have any inheritance. It's interesting. And then you hear the name Jesus. Did you hear his name listed? It was listed right there. Jesus is portrayed in the Bible of having three main roles or offices. Jesus is the conquering king. He defeats all of our enemies, including sin and death, and he rules over us. Jesus is the ultimate prophet. He speaks to us not just from God, but as God. And Jesus is the perfect priest. He offers a sacrifice for us, and he is the sacrifice. And he mediates. Jesus stands between the Holy Father and sinful man. He mediates for us. And he can do it perfectly because he's fully God, fully man. And he offers a perfect sacrifice that truly sets us free. I hope you know that sacrifice. Only in him. So those are the characters. Let's talk about the connection. If you've been around the Bible and you know anything of Jesus, this Melchizedek should sound awfully familiar to you because Jesus is portrayed as both a king and a priest, just like Melchizedek, but he's a prophet as well. Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek in Psalm 110. Psalm 110, read it when you go home. It's amazing. It's David. David is saying, starts off really weird. The Lord, Yahweh, capitalized, says to my Lord, David is saying, the Lord says to my Savior, who's going to be his son, his savior, a greater David, Jesus, sit at my right hand until I make all of your enemies your footstool. And then he's going to go on and says, I declare you, Messiah, you will be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus is connected to him that way. So we see this one who appears king of righteousness, king of peace, Jesus, prince of peace. Jesus, it's through his righteous life and atoning death that we are saved. I mean, what a connection of Melchizedek. Then you see Abraham. I love it because Paul will make clear about the promise God made to Abraham. God promised Abraham a seed that would come that would bless all nations. Guess who that seed is? It's Jesus. Remember, if the pastor asks you, always yell out Jesus. You'll never go wrong. Jesus is a promised seed of Abraham. Because listen to what Paul writes in Galatians 3:16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring or his seed. That word is singular. It does not say and to offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring who is Christ. Let me make sense of this. God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless your seed. And through your seed, all the nations will be blessed. It's not all those kids you're going to have, because through your seed is going to come Jesus. And Jesus is going to bless all nations. He's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords. He's going to be the only Savior of the world. He's going to be the Son of God. Through that one seed, it's going to come Jesus. And that's the promise. So you have this Levi and Aaron. They were priests too, but they were weak and they were sinful. They had to offer sacrifices for their own sin, and it didn't work. It just didn't work. And it was only a shadow of what would work in Jesus. But we have Jesus, who's a high priest with an indestructible life because he conquered death. It says that he was holy, set apart, innocent, without sin, unstained, lived his whole life unstained, separated from sinners, but loved sinners and exalted above the heavens. That's Jesus. Do you know him? Let's talk about the consequences, lastly. It says the consequences, because of the characters and the connections, the consequences are these, and I hope you hear this maybe for the first time, because this is the gospel. The consequences is this: Jesus is the guarantor of a better covenant. Listen, he's basically saying this: you want to know the Father, it's through me. It's not about your moralism. It's not about your good deeds. It's not about your church attendance. It's not about what you tithe and don't tithe. It's about what Jesus has done. Because Jesus' life was perfect and the law of God was fulfilled. Jesus' death was enough and the wrath of God was appeased. Jesus is conquering the grave, proclaims the reality that death is defeated, that heaven is opened up. And now he is the guarantor of better covenant, a better way. It's not about pull yourself up by the bootstraps. It's not about clean your act up. It's not about you getting a little bit more religion in your life. It's about you clinging to Jesus, saying, he's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm getting in only because of him. He lived the life I failed to live. He died the death I deserve to die. He conquered sin and death, and I'm getting in. He's guaranteeing it. And when I stand before the Father and he says, why in the world should I let you in? Because that man on the middle cross said I could come. Because that man on the middle cross, whose life, death, and resurrection was enough for me. That's the gospel. That's the way home. It's amazing. Jesus, now what does he do? He lives to make intercession for us. This is saying he's not up there static, just sitting around waiting for you to arrive. He is living to pray for you, to advocate for you, to remind the Father of the great work he's done for you. And so every day we have one who is living to intercede for us. How many times have you been in a difficult situation? You ask somebody, will you pray for me? Will you just pray for me? Can you just say a prayer for me? I'm just in need. I just need an SOS. Listen, God's Son lives to intercede for us. Is there a better prayer warrior? Is there a more effective prayer warrior? Oh, you're going to tell me your life is too dark and that Jesus can't intercede for that? You're going to tell me that your sins are too deep and bad that Jesus can't intercede for that? You're going to tell me you're too far away from God's grace, love, mercy? Are you kidding me? The cross, the grave, and he lives to intercede for us. That's such good news. He offers a better hope. The hope isn't in ourselves. It's not in our father Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It's not in our religion. Our hope is in him. It's a living hope. It's a better hope. It says he saves us to the uttermost. That Greek word uttermost is beautiful. It's not just fullness, completeness, it's time. It has a time element. It's eternal. So when he says he saves you to the uttermost, he saves you today, tomorrow, and forever. He saves you completely, completely. All that the Father requires of us fulfilled in Jesus. All that was needed to be done for us fulfilled in Jesus. Time and space, a complete forever saves to the uttermost. What can separate us from God's love? Nothing. Can life, can death, can sin, what separates you from God's love? If he's living to intercede for you, if he saves us to the uttermost, what can snatch you out of the Father's hand? What can snatch you out of Jesus' hand? How many sheep is Jesus going to lose? Absolutely none. Why? Because he saves to the uttermost. Ashley, by God's grace, declared the fact that Jesus was her Lord and Savior. He will never change his mind about her. She is a child of God today, tomorrow, forever. He will save her to the uttermost. Not because Ashley's wonderful, and we know she is. Because Jesus is amazing, and his work is complete. So now we draw near to God through Jesus. Draw near. How do you think the Father looks at you? Do you think he's angry? Is he an angry Father in your mind? Is he somebody, is God somebody you're fearful of? I mean, we should have a loving fear for him, but is he somebody you're like, oh man, if you only knew the truth about me. He knows the truth about you and he loves you. And it's not about you, it's about Jesus, right? It's about him. So we should draw near to God through Jesus. What were the priests trying to do in the Holy Holies? They're trying to draw near to God. They're bringing blood. They're like, oh man, don't smote me, oh smoter. And then we see on the cross the wrath of God poured out on his son. Why? So we could skip, run, dance, and whistle in God's presence. Have you ever whistled in God's presence? Ever whistled in God's presence knowing you are accepted, knowing that you are a beloved son, not because of you, but because of Jesus? You see, if that's you, you get the gospel. If you get the gospel that you have the audacity to go into the Father's presence as if you own the place, and have the audacity to say, Father, these are my heart's concerns, and just lay it out before him, knowing that you're loved and knowing you're his, you get the gospel. If you are fearful, saying, oh, if you only knew the truth about, he knows the truth about you. And those the sins you have a hard time breaking, the things that you've done that you have a hard time forgiving, the way that you are, he knows. It's Jesus. He saves to the uttermost. Do you think the Father wants you to draw near to him? If he's provided every way for you to draw near to him, how does he want you to respond? This way or this way? You kidding? I mean, I'm a grandfather. You know how I want my grandkids coming to me? Without fear. Like they own the place. Dancing and whistling, knowing that they're loved. And that's how we should dance and whistle in his presence. As Jesus lives to represent us in heaven, let us represent him on earth. He lives to intercede for us. As he lives to intercede for us in heaven, he's pleading our case. We should be pleading his here. We're representing him. He represents us in heaven. Let us represent him on earth. That's why we're here, right? Living in submission to Jesus as our king. Living on mission, serving on mission as Jesus as our king. We are his people. We are his church. We are to represent him. We represent his name. We wear his name. We represent and seek his kingdom first. We represent his character. And that's why he says, be holy as I am holy. Not so I love you, because I do love you. Because you're mine. Smell like Jesus. We live to tell. Why? Because he lives to tell. Who are you? Are you his? Where are you? Are you safe? Are you in his arms? You know the gospel. Jesus has qualified us and made us fit to be a part of his family. All because of what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. God, there's no greater story than the gospel. There's no greater one than your son. There's no greater news than the fact that we are forgiven and free in him. God, we should be dancing because you've turned our mourning into dancing. You've wiped away our tears. And yeah, it still hurts. And it's still a struggle home. But we're going to make it because Jesus made it. And you're not going to change your mind about us. We're not going to turn a corner and realizing it's a dead end and we've fallen away from your grace. Those that you have loved, you loved before time began. You loved them enough and you demonstrated it by sending Jesus to rescue us. Jesus, you would love us enough to lay your life down for us. You loved your sheep. It says, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. What incredible joy. Joy to endure the cross. Why? So that we could be forgiven and loved and free. God, I pray the gospel would bear fruit deeply in this church, that we would be people that dance and whistle and sing in your presence. And God, I pray the gospel would turn, even today, hearts to you that don't know you. that today would be the day where they would confess that they are a sinner in need of grace that we get through the work of Christ Jesus. Build your church, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.